prepare for what you cannot see. Expect the unexpected, and you will save yourself from a state of shock. Having said this, we know that it is hard to predict how we will feel in various situations. Like, you know, newlywed couples tend to estimate that their happiness levels would rise, or how we imagine our wedding day to be super, super special. In reality, their levels of happiness tend to diminish over some time. Hi listeners, I am your host Ayushi, and today we are in conversation with our expert Mr. Monish Jha on today's topic, expectations versus reality. Monish has been working as a motivational speaker for quite some time and loves observing people. Good evening Mr. Jha, we welcome you to today's session.
Good evening to you too Ayushi, and thank you for the quite kind introduction. I have read some of the blogs on CalmSage and was quite eager to talk to you guys. Also, you can refer to me simply as Monish. This isn't a formal interview, right?
Well, thank you so much, Monish. So, to begin today's session, I want to ask, why do our expectations confuse us into thinking that our goals will bring us much more happiness than they actually do?
All right, getting straight to the point. I would say a majority of people never give much thought about this situation, forcing them to repeat this vicious cycle over and over. They continue planning for the future based on what their peers tell it is. This makes them perceive a future that is quite detached from reality. The basic human trait that we all practice 24/7 is not to be mindful. And hence, we continue to live in a bubble of our own ignorance. As famously quoted by sage Dandapani, if you will practice being distracted all the time, then you will be good at being distracted. And vice versa is also true in this scenario. Now you would be thinking as to why I'm talking about mindfulness.
Yes.
See, the thing here is, when you anticipate something, whether good or bad, you give energy to that thought. You also give a lot of space to that thought into your consciousness, so much that it makes an impact. You keep thinking about it all the time, again and again. So what happens is, even before the actual occasion arises, we have already lived it or experienced it hundreds of times in our head. And the happiness that we were going to receive from it has already been experienced by us. Here, two things happen. First, our expectations get heightened too much when compared to the actual scenario. And second, the level of satisfaction decreases due to experiencing it mentally again and again, as also described by the law of diminishing marginal utility of economics. This works in both the cases, in happiness as well as in fear, and can even be used to one's benefit if used wisely.
Wow. This shows how our brain is far more powerful and influential than we actually give it credit for. And talking about credit, research shows that most people tend to underappreciate what they have and always want more. So, how can we prevent our thoughts from enjoying what we have in reality?
Another good question, I would say, Ayushi. As mentioned earlier, living in the moment is not something everyone practices. So, if you are at a theater, just imagine the scenario, okay? You are at a theater watching your most awaited movie, but your thoughts are roaming somewhere else. Tell me, how would you be able to enjoy it? The mind has the tendency to jump and run away all the time. It is you who needs to drag the mind back consciously. This conscious effort is not easy. Let's do a small activity to check how long you can actively control your mind. Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready.
Okay, great. So now close your eyes, and I would request our dear listeners to do the same as well.
Okay.
It is very simple activity and you can do it. Just close your eyes and don't think of a monkey with a black face. Think about anything else, anything, but not just the monkey with the black face.
Okay.
So Ayushi, were you able to do it?
Munish, it is actually tricky. I am not able to think of anything else other than a monkey with a black face.
Okay, no issues. But you do agree that this sounds quite simple when you first listen to it, right?
Right.
Okay, so what happened? Why were you not able to do it? Why did the monkey with the black face suddenly get so important that you were not able to picture something else? We go to the gym, train our mind, train our muscles. We study hard, solve complex questions, and do whatever it takes. But we don't do anything to train our minds. Why? We have such an incredible tool at our disposal, yet we don't even acknowledge it.
I simply cannot stop saying wow. From today, I am definitely going to use such tricks to train my mind and to not fall with the blues of expectations. So, Munish, moving forward, do you have any tips to build awareness?
Yes, I would say there are some things that you can do to start. They are quite easy and you don't even need to spare much time from your daily lives and routine. Whenever you listen to music, close your eyes and try to hear the instruments that were involved. Try to pick up the tiny sounds and intricacies that you usually ignore.
Okay.
You will be surprised to notice how much one can miss. When you walk, notice how your body weight shifts and how your steps change to cope up with that. Also, try to notice your breathing. Notice how you breathe. Notice how you exhale. Notice how it touches your upper lip and how your inhale feels when it fills your lungs, you know. Try eating alone without talking to anyone. You can try that. It's quite simple. We don't usually do that. It's very necessary. Just try eating alone and you will notice how the taste enhances suddenly. You will feel little tingles in your mouth as well. So there are many things that you can do. As you must have noticed that I didn't ask you to do anything which is out of your daily life.
Yes.
You just need to calm down and make a conscious effort to train your mind.
This was such a wonderful insight to the amount of detail that we ignore around us. This brings us to our next question. The expectations of our lives are unrealistic and based on what we think others have. Realistic speaking, our perspective of what others have is limited. They actually do not have the lives they perceive. So, what is your take on that? How to manage perception?
Whenever anyone talks about perception, I always remember a very beautiful example I read in a book long ago. Imagine that you are at the base of a mountain. If you look around, you will see nearby surroundings and not much. Start your trek up the mountain and stop midway. Look around. You may be able to see an area of few kilometers which you are not able to see before. More mountains, valleys and whatnot. Start trekking again. And this time don't stop till you are at the peak. Look around and you will see a heavenly beauty. The area up to several hundred kilometers. Maybe different mountain ranges, valleys, rivers, forests. You may even see different small city establishments. Now, back to your question. When you were at the base of the mountain, suppose what you see is your perception.
Okay.
As you ascend the mountain, that is the level of your perception. You will start to see more and more things which you were not able to see before. And finally, when you are at the top of the mountain, you will see an even bigger picture, right?
Right.
You will see the entirety when you are at the lower level in your perception. You know, you see only limited things, but as you keep your mind open and accept changes, you will start to see the change, the bigger picture. Now, my question to you is, when you are at the top of the mountain, is that the biggest picture Is that the highest level of perception you can achieve? What do you think?
Yes, according to your explanation, this will be the biggest picture and this will be the highest level of perception I can achieve.
But what about space? Will your perception be not even wider and inclusive if you looked from space? You must think what an absurd thing to say when the scenario was just to climb the mountain. But try to understand. Mountain was just a reference. What we were talking about here was just the ascension, the altitude. That is the level of perception. In the same way, if I ask you what is the hottest thing, what will be your answer? You may say boiling water, lava, or even sun, right?
Right.
But what about the stars that are bigger than the sun? What about colliding stars? Supernova. Do you know that a supernova can be 300 times hotter than our little tiny sun?
No.
So, my point here is, with a little effort and an open mind, we need to learn to be calm and think from the shoes of others. And even if you do, stop. Take my advice. Please stop.
Yes.
Stay calm. Stay humble. To the ground. And trust me, you would be surprised to know that you still don't know a lot.
Thank you so much for sharing such realistic examples with us. So, from the conversation, I have learned to ask questions to myself and do not make any perceptions. Second, ask questions to myself if the expectations are even real or not. Third, when you feel disappointed, sit back and think whether it was realistic to expect or not. Consecutively, striving for more can lead you to work hardest and do best. But at the same time, it can also rob our joy, specifically when our expectations come more easily than they do in a different way. With this, we bring our podcast to end. Thank you, Mr. Monish, for guiding our listeners.
Thank you.
And listeners, stay positive and do not forget to follow Calm Sage on social media platforms. Thank you.